Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. And coming up, Merry Christmas. That'll be a while yet, but just in case. A few announcements here this morning. We will have an evening service tonight. We'll be showing a video DVD presentation on discovering dinosaurs, a biblical account, and five reasons why fossils and such reveal the reality of dinosaurs. You may want to come and be a part of that. Maybe you can help educate your children or grandchildren with the information you gain. There will be children's choir tonight in the music suite at 5:30 as well. Operation Christmas Child Ministry collected 693 shoeboxes. We exceeded our goal. We praise the Lord for that. They'll probably set a goal of 700 next year now. So just be ready. The Lord's blessing through that, and we look forward to the fruit that comes out of that. Wish Tree Ministry is taking place right now. The stars are still available on the tree in the foyer. Gifts are due back on Sunday, December 11th, and that will be a couple of weeks yet. Make sure you write your name on the list with the number that's on the star. That helps our committee to know who's in charge of those particular numbers. Do note in your bulletin there is a place for Saturday, 10 noon, Brotherhood Lunch. It'll actually be at noon, not 10 till noon, but at noon we'll have Brotherhood Lunch in the Student Ministry Building on Saturday. So men, we encourage you to come. Bring your sons. It's a time for men to be together and to encourage one another, and we'll have a luncheon that day. Upward Sports will be handing out 23 weeks of prayer today. Brother Steve will be out in the foyer after the service. And on my list, there are 23 weeks, and we're in week three right now. And so if you're interested in praying for the Upward ministry, the different aspects that need to be lifted up before the Lord as we prepare for that ministry, get one of these prayer lists from Steve when you leave the service this morning and start praying for that season that'll be upcoming. Be sure you read your bulletin. There's a lot going on here, and we are hopeful that we'll honor the Lord with the activities we put our hands to in the coming days. So, with all of that said, I believe Brother Robert Clay Martin is praying this morning, and so he'll come bring our deacon prayer invocation.
Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house today. We thank you for the rain that we sent, and we thank you for the sunshine that you sent, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this church body, Lord. We thank you for these teachers and pastors and music directors and choir members, Lord. And Lord, we thank you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ, for providing a way for salvation for us, Lord. We thank you for your Bible, for the way it reveals your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for Brother Robert and his devotion to your word, Lord. And we ask that you speak through him to us this morning. And Lord, we thank you for Mr. Cummings, and please use him and help us to worship you through music, Lord. And Lord, we ask you just clear our minds of all the distractions that are all around us right now, Lord, and help us to focus totally on you. And also, Lord, we ask that you be with our brethren that are hurting this morning, that are sick, that can't be here, and just heal them, Lord, and bring them back to us, Lord. In Jesus' name pray. Amen.
Okay, yes, as you can tell, I love Christmas. Thanksgiving is done. It's time for Christmas. Okay, so not to preach to the choir, as they say, but of course I am. They're out here today, okay, because I gave them the day off. One of our prayers that we had this morning at 9:10 when we prayed with Brother Robert, one of the things I prayed for was that we don't forget the reason for the season, that we don't get caught up in the commercialism that companies and other people have put into it. And, you know, and other things they say it is actually about, that we never forget that the true gift that we got was Jesus Christ. And I believe it's great that we share gifts with other people during this time and all this, but hope this is just a little reminder. We're here to worship him. Now, since I do love Christmas, we will be singing some Christmas hymns every service because I got to get them in, Okay, I just have to do that. So we're going to start with Angels We Have Heard on High and Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Would you please stand, please? There we go. All right.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly sing in all the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strain prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. Christ by highest at the door, Christ the everlasting Lord. Let in time behold Him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, held the incarnate deity. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all He breathes, risen with healing in His wings. Now He lays His glory bare, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald
Now join us on O Come, O Come Emmanuel. Hymn number 60, and we'll do first, second, and fourth verses.
Day.
Father, we're so grateful to be able to gather in your home and sing praises to your name. Father, we take this time now to praise you with our gifts and offerings. Father, they're yours anyway. We are just stewards as we pass through this time in our lives. We ask you to bless it, Father, that its use will bring glory and honor to your name. We pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Come all ye weary, come all ye thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table, he will satisfy. Of his greatness, find what you're looking for. God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live. The power of hell, forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved, God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him. Praise him for the wonders of his love. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him for the wonders of his love, his amazing love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell, never defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved, God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting, God so loved the world.
Thank you, Brother Houston and Lucinda and Sheila, leading us this morning. We're going to be in the book of Psalms, as you see on the screen. The current season, the one we've just come out of and the one we're heading into, lends itself to a time of preparation. When we think of physical and material preparation, there are many who have and are making plans for traveling with your family, oftentimes buying tickets or planning how to afford the gas to get to and from where you're going. Some receiving guests into your home, and there's always preparation in your home for that, whether it's foodstuffs or rooms to be prepared for folks to sleep in, recipes gathered up, the activities coordinated. And in some cases, there's a need to prepare oneself or family for a first holiday without somebody there, perhaps for the very first time. And so preparations are a big part of the holiday season, whether they're physical, emotional, material, all those things exist. But there's also a spiritual aspect to preparation that I want us to address this morning. I think it is far too easy when it comes to the celebration of holidays to get caught up, as Brother Houston said, in the commercialization, or to get caught up in the travel. We got to get to where family is, and then maybe mess with some of that drama that might be found there. Thinking about getting all the kids together and the proper things packed in the boxes or in the luggage to move and to get to the place where you need to go. There's just so much that we can get caught up in that we can forget what the holiday season's for. And so I think it's important for us to intentionally take some time to think about spiritual preparation. And it just requires that we come before the Lord in a manner in which we can hear Him and see Him as He's revealing Himself to us. A lot of distractions can take place. There can be a lot of things that sidetrack us along the way, but we need to perhaps find a way to get properly prepared for Christmas. Well, how about just any act of worship? I think that probably be the best way to put it. Not just for Christmas, but as we're approaching a celebration regarding the birth of our Christ, which is a great time to celebrate. About every time we come into the setting of worship, having ourselves properly prepared for spiritually engaging with God through the power of the Spirit and through the Word, and having a very real experience with Him. I think we can learn something from the Jews regarding this issue. Listen, the Christian faith comes out of a Judeo background. If not for the Jews, if not for the word that was passed down to them, if not for the Savior who came through the Jews, we would not have a faith. And we can learn many things from Old Testament passages about how we ought to prepare ourselves, how we ought to conduct ourselves in the presence of God. And so this morning I'd like for us to go to a psalm, Psalm 121. There's 8 verses, and we'll learn a little bit more about these, but let's stand together as we read these 8 verses in this psalm. And if you have your Bible before you, you may see a little subtitle there. Mine says, "The Lord, the Keeper of Israel," and under it says, "A Song of Ascents." And it says that in the previous Psalm 120 all the way through 134. These are 15 songs of ascents, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let's keep this in mind as the pilgrims, Jewish pilgrims, were approaching Israel to worship at special times. They would sing these songs in preparation for being in the presence of the Lord. So let's listen to this one psalm. "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. He is the shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we acknowledge you this morning as the true God of righteousness and holiness, the one who is worthy to be worshiped. And Father God, we want to hear from you this morning. I pray that you push aside this messenger, that Lord God, we hear your voice through these words as we ponder them and consider them this morning. How we can know better and learn better how to worship you, to do it appropriately in a way that truly offers to you that of which you're worthy. Teach our hearts this morning, Father. I pray your Spirit to freely move in our midst. Draw us close to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask it. Amen. Thank you for standing. So as I mentioned just a moment ago, a little background, this is one of 15 psalms. It is the second of 15 psalms known as the Song of Ascents. This is a series of songs, and while we don't have music to these were actually sung with particular tunes before the Lord, and it was used by Jewish pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem to worship one of the three major feasts. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles were three mandated feasts by the Lord God for at least the Jewish men to attend every single year. And the Lord made a promise in the Old Testament. He said, if you're faithful to go to these feasts, I will make sure and protect your homeland. I'll make sure no enemy comes and destroys it. You make your pilgrimage, I will look out for your stuff. Come to worship me. And so the pilgrim could come with at least that pressure off of him. The Lord's going to take care of my home. Now I'm going to go and meet with him. So I need to prepare my heart along the way. And these believers, these pilgrims, they called them, traveled from all over Judea to come to that place where they would worship the Lord God. Now, keep this in mind. They would join together in Jerusalem. That was the appointed place for worship. And they would sing these songs that were labeled ascents as they were traveling to Jerusalem, because no matter where they were traveling from, they would be climbing in elevation. Jerusalem sits about 2,700 feet above sea level there, and it required an upward climb for all travelers, no matter if they were in the north or in the south of the land. In fact, I believe there's one of these psalms that speaks about in the previous psalm, verse 5. Woe is me, I sojourn in Meshech. Meshech was one of those places in the north of the land that they would have to travel from. If you've ever seen a map of Israel, it's a long, skinny piece of property, and there's a good 120, 150 miles or 70 miles, and you have traveled one way or the other, but everybody who traveled had to come uphill. Those from the south, the next part of that verse, I dwell among the tents of Kedar. This is down in the south where the Arabians are. It's down in the south desert. And so everybody who came had to climb. So to ascend up to Jerusalem, that high point of worship that God had chosen, everybody had to ascend. So these songs are naturally called the songs of ascending, coming up to where God is. A day is going to come when the Lord God will return in the person of Jesus Christ, and all of the land in the world will be brought down, and Jerusalem will be the highest place in the world. It will be the place of worship for all people in that millennial reign. And so keep this in mind. It is currently a place where those who are in Israel would travel and ascend. And in these psalms, we can find proper models for our approach to worship, whether it's a worship day or whether it's a big celebration like Christmas or Easter or even Thanksgiving, time of preparing our hearts as we approach. I think it's interesting. I'm going to just read each of the subtitles under each of these psalms just so we kind of get an idea. Psalm 120, a prayer for deliverance from the treacherous, that there be safety as we travel, a song that they would sing together as they joined other pilgrims, a song to the Lord and saying, Lord, we're trusting you to protect us as we move towards you. This one, the Lord, the keeper of Israel, the one who secures them. Then the next one, a prayer for the peace of Jerusalem as they're approaching that place of worship, that God would apply peace, a shalom for those people in that place. Prayer for the Lord's help, give us energy, bring us to yourself. 124, praise for rescue from enemies. Again, there might be dangers along the way. Psalm 125, the Lord surrounds his people, so a barrier, a hedge around those who belong to him. Then thanksgiving for return from captivity. So they're singing not only about going to worship, but when they leave worship, the Lord's watch care over them. And on it goes. These psalms of preparing themselves for being in the presence of the Lord God. I think we can learn some things. In this one psalm that we're going to look at this morning, we can find at least four main ideas to remind us who God is. And I think that's important when we approach worship, whether it be a celebration of Christmas or Easter or just a Sunday. We remember who God is, what his benefits are to us. There are plenty of reminders in the scripture to remember God, remember his benefits toward us. Don't forget these things. And that helps to keep us focused to hear his voice and to engage with him spiritually as we meet with him. So let's look at the first four things here. First, verses 1 and 2, we find this main idea, God's my strength. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? Well, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I love this verse. Because we oftentimes think, well, I'm going to go to the mountain. The mountain's going to protect me. Many over the ages have thought, if I just find a secure place in which to dwell or a fortress that I can build, I will be safe. And the psalmist here is recognizing something. He says, I'm lifting my eyes to the mountain, and I'm going that way. But where does my real help come from? It comes from the one who created that mountain. It's not the mountain itself. It's the one who made the heavens and the earth. He's the one that I will find my help in. And this is where strength comes from for the worshiper. Now, we know that our strength comes from the one who's at the place that we go to worship. Our help comes from the maker of the hills. The Lord knew what he was doing when he set Jerusalem in the Holy Land, and he made that the chosen place of worship. Listen, he said, don't worship anywhere else. You come to this place. And that's why Israel, the northern kingdom, was considered strays because they made a place for worship in the northern kingdom that was not in Jerusalem. And this caused them to disobey the command God gave, come down and worship three times a year, and they failed to do that because they made a place of worship somewhere else. They realized that was the right place because God had declared it, and he required all those worshipers to go there. And so the pilgrim making his way to that place would need to acknowledge that he had to go up to the presence of the Lord. Again, these psalms of ascent. He would need to go up. He would be climbing, physically climbing an elevation, but also spiritually advancing to another degree of worship, spiritual reality, being in the presence of the Lord God, there at the temple in that place that God had called all people who belonged to him to go up and to worship him from. And again, it wasn't the mountains that supplied the strength. It could provide some protection from enemies, but the pilgrims were looking to the one who made those hills for his help. He's the only one who has infinite power, the creator of the heavens and earth. We should remember this, that God is creator, and because of that, our strength is found in him. Anybody that can speak things that are not into existence by the power of his word is one to be trusted. It's one upon which to rely for any strength we might need in our lives. And so we look to the maker of the mountains, and then as we enter this sanctuary, look, we come to meet with the provider of this place, not to celebrate the building. And the building's precious. There have been memories that have been built here. There's a history that's been here. There's been traditions that have occurred in this place. Some of you have been married in this place. Some of you baptized here. You have a rich heritage. But honestly, it's not about the place as much as it's about the God who brought you to the place to be united with a loved one, to dedicate your child, to see baptisms happen here. It was the power of the Lord God that brought us to that place. And so we must always remember it's the Lord God who's creator that provides our strength for any journey and any preparation for worship of him. If we want to engage with the Lord God himself, we must look to the Lord God himself and recognize him as a true strength of us as believers. Secondly, let's move on. Verse 3 and 4. God is my support. Look what the psalmist says here. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's one who supports. Here, the pilgrim is literally speaking about his foothold along the way. I have been to Israel, and the ground there outside of paved roads is very unstable. It's rocky. There are dips. There are holes. You walk, and you are on a hike if you go walk in the wilderness. We went up to where the water flows from Mount Carmel and goes down the river and develops into Jordan. I can tell you, the walk up there, if they had not put a paved road up to that ascension where we went, we would not have been able to do it. It was very rocky and unstable. Every pilgrim that made their way to Jerusalem would have to go over some pretty rough ground to get there. And this song included, he will not allow your foot to slip, the literal need for our feet to be stable as we make our way to the place where God is. And they celebrated that he will not allow our foot to slip. He who keeps us will not slumber. He won't sleep. He will keep his eye on us all the way. If you've ever noticed, it only takes just a second or a moment for you to tweak your ankle stepping the wrong way on a rock or somebody else's foot, whatever it may be. It only takes just a moment. God never slumbers. For these pilgrims, they could cry out and say, God's watching over us every moment as we're making our way towards him. He is the support. And this word, when we look at this word that says, not allow your foot to sleep, he keeps you. That word keeps is a very important Hebrew word, shamar. It is a word that means guardian or one who keeps and holds, shepherd, if you will, one who shepherds us. So the pilgrim would be identifying the God they're going to worship as the one who keeps them, like their shepherd. Psalm 23, the shepherd psalm, he's the one who guides me. He guides me in the clear waters and the green pastures. He keeps me even through the valley of the shadow of death. There would be many obstacles on the way for some of these travelers to get to Jerusalem, and their call and their song of confidence would be that this God is my keeper. He's the one who supports me along the way. He is my shamar. He is my shepherd and guardian. And it literally means to prop a hedge about. So to keep you is to put a hedge about you. And there are a lot of similar descriptions in Scripture that can be found to give that kind of characteristic to the Lord God who puts a hedge around his people. Think of their escape from Egypt. When they got out and they were faced with the Red Sea, could not go any further, and there was an army coming behind them. The Egyptians were bearing down upon them. God put a barrier between them. He hedged around them for their protection. This is the same God that these pilgrims would be singing to as they approached the place of worship. Jesus himself used this same imagery of himself in John chapter 10 when he said, I am the good shepherd. I guard my sheep. They hear my voice. They follow me and keep those safe from themselves and also from predators. This is a great promise that we as pilgrims have. As we make our way to worship, we can remember our God is a God who's creator. He is also the keeper. He is the shamar. He's the shepherd of his people. These pilgrims will be reminded of the faithful support of this Jehovah God, even as they were making their way to worship. And we too can be thinking about God's favor and watch care over his own. He has given us the Holy Spirit as a seal and guarantee. He's given us the truth of his word to remind us of these things as we prepare our hearts for worship. And so as we prepare to come into the presence of the Lord, we should be assured of his favor, his watch care, his guardianship over us as we make our way into his presence. If you've trusted Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you have this kind of confidence because the Spirit has sealed you. The Lord's going to bring you to himself one way or another, sometimes through very difficult times and oftentimes by showing us his favor upon us by keeping us from that which could be worse. So we have these two pictures of the Lord God. He's strength, he's support, he is a guardian for us. Thirdly, in verses 5-6, we find that God is my shade. The Lord's your keeper continues this idea of the shamar. He is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The times in Israel, the mornings, the night times are very cool And then in the daytime, it gets very warm. And of course, depends on what season you're there, but the time we were there, weather jackets in the morning to keep us from the cold air, and then by afternoon you were shedding things because it was blistery hot, and you had to wear hats to keep your face from being burnt. And so there would be a need for protection from the elements. And here, pilgrims making their way to the Lord would be a reminder that He's the one who's the shade on my right hand. He would keep the element of the sun from burning me up. And then also what we find here, not even the moon by night. Well, what danger would the moonlight be upon you? Well, perhaps if there's not much moonlight, that predators could get to you, or robbers or thieves could make their way to you. And so the Lord is a protection. He's a shade, keeping us from the dangers that are on the way. And listen, most of us can probably identify with trying to get to church on some Sunday mornings. Sometimes you wrestle with a lot of elements as a daddy who had two little girls, and that wasn't too bad. Some of you got a whole bunch more than two. And trying to get all of those ready, making sure shoes are on the feet, that they are dressed, for one thing, that they have had their breakfast, that they're not wearing that breakfast, that you get all of them into the vehicle, and getting a child in and out of a car seat. If you have not been there, you don't know what a struggle is. Sunday mornings can be a time of coming into this building in pure frustration because you have dealt with so many things before you've gotten there. Try driving down the road and a squirrel fall off of a high wire and you hit that squirrel and your child berates you for being a murderer. It happens. The most unusual things can occur on a Sunday morning when we're making our way to worship, but we must remember that the Lord God is the shade. He's the protector. He's the one that keeps us from the elements so that we can find a way to be there and worship Him. We can all find relief in the shade of the Lord as believers, especially when the heat is on. That's His specialty. The Lord specializes when things are uncomfortable, when we don't have much comfort, when things are difficult. He's proven it in Scripture, in fiery furnaces, in lion's den, in the belly of a fish. Here the psalmist refers to the dangers of night, the moon and stars, of course, with protection needed from the elements and environment that they would pass through as they're traveling, perhaps putting a tent up overnight and having a serpent come in the tent in the middle of the night. There are many things that were needed protection from along the way. We can be sure that like those pilgrims, the Lord will provide, that He will make sure that we are able to focus upon Him when we arrive at our place of worship. Lastly, verses 7 and 8, God's my Savior. The Lord will protect you from all evil. And I don't know about you, there are a lot of things I want the Lord to protect me from, but that is first and foremost and most necessary regarding my soul before Him, is to guard me from evil. He says, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Remember, this is a song of confidence as they're approaching a time of worship. The Lord will guard your going out. There's that word shamar again, along with the keep your soul. Guard your going out, your coming in from this time forth and forever. We can apply this to our salvation. While travelers making their way to Jerusalem would be perhaps concerned over evils, robbers, thieves coming upon them, spiritual dangers can pop into our minds as well. Doubt, perhaps questioning the Lord's validity, or maybe is He really a Savior? Discouragement that you've experienced in life, perhaps difficult situations that cause you to doubt that God really cares about your situation. We need to guard against those things. The Lord God as Savior is a God who protects us forever. Notice that last verse. The Lord will guard your going out, your coming in from this time forth and forever. For a believer, you have received eternal life, not temporary life, not just something for the moment, not just if things get rough, you might have a difficult time, but He says it is eternal life. It is security. It is permanent. And God is the Savior. From this time forward, He has provided a spiritual element to our security so that we might be able to be with Him not only in this day, but in the day to come. Remember the psalmist's psalm, the shepherd's psalm in 23. surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and then I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's great confidence in his provision here, and his provision in the time to come. It is security. It is trusting in this Savior who has provided salvation. The Lord who is the creator and the shamar, the shepherd of his people. He makes good on that promise to watch over us the entire course of our lives. And when we find ourselves in some kind of difficult situation, we must remember that as Savior, there's no earthly or spiritual danger that can threaten our security in Christ Jesus, especially regarding evil. Listen, physical things are going to happen to us. Material things are going to batter us because we live in a world that's tainted by sin. The reality is sin has caused problems for every human being, not only spiritually, but physically and materially and emotionally. But we must know if we have a Savior and we trust Christ Jesus as that Savior, he promises security, regardless of what the trial or the storm may be in life. There's no spiritual or earthly danger that can threaten the security of the believer. When Jesus came to earth, it was his first thing in his mission to rescue sinful man. He fed a lot of people. He healed many people who were distraught. He took care of problems. He settled arguments between folks. But you know what? The main thing Christ did was he offered himself as a price of atonement for the sin of mankind. For those who would believe that they might be saved from their sin, forgiven of it, and no longer under the power and the penalty of that sin, but now free to know that they had a security in the one who not only died for sin, but is raised to life. Let us not forget that Christ Jesus being raised to life was evidence of God's satisfaction of his sacrifice being perfect and sufficient for our salvation. And so his death and his resurrection, the Bible tells us to place our faith in him, to trust that death and resurrection, and then salvation will be yours. And that salvation is security for the one who believes. Every other person, including yourself, is an imposter who will fail miserably if you think you can keep your own soul to eternity. You can't keep your own soul. The Lord God secures you. By the Holy Spirit coming in your life, he holds you and keeps you. The scripture is clear on him being the seal and guarantee. We must trust the Savior. These pilgrims making their way up would look up and they would say, I lift my eyes to the mountains where the Creator is who can minister to my need. He will not allow my foot to slip. He will keep me secure and he will support me in every single way. He's my keeper. He's the shade. He protects me and provides for me on this journey, making my way to worship. And he will protect and keep me because his security is real. This is just one of 15 songs that the believers, the pilgrims, would sing as they made their way to the Lord God, to be reminders of this God who is faithful. He protects my stuff, he protects me, he protects my going and coming, and he will keep me so that I can get to the place where I can concentrate on worshiping him. I think when we consider our worship, we should remember this Savior. He is the only one that can keep us for eternity. That should drive us to worship. Whether it be Christmas time, whether it be a Sunday, whether it be any other day when you're preparing yourself to do a ministry or to care for someone else, and you do it for the glory of the Lord and not for your own self-aggrandizement. You look to honor the Lord God, he will bless that. And this should drive us to worship him. We have a God who's faithful. As we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, as we celebrate Easter, as we celebrate any given Sunday where we come in and we have opportunity to be engaged with the Lord and with his people. It is helpful for us if we acknowledge these truths, if we are going to ascend from where we are to where he is. I don't know about you, I can always use to ascend a little bit more from where I am to where he is. I haven't reached it yet. I suspect you haven't either. And the Lord being high and lifted up, he's at a place where we must ascend. I would ask you this, what adjustments do you need to make in your life? I've had to question myself this week, what adjustments do I need to make in my life to make sure that I am ascending to him for worship? Ascending and moving from where I am to where he is in order to truly engage with the Creator, this Shalom Shepherd who loves me and keeps me and has secured me. And I need to ask myself, what is keeping me from getting there? Anyone? Anything? And what should I do with that? Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, he gave his all so that we would give our all. We sang just a moment ago, come with all your difficulties, with your addictions, with your problems. Lay them before the Lord. He is the great Savior. Let us trust in him. Let's make whatever adjustments need to be made to do that. And I will say this, worship is only of worth if you're in a covenant relationship with God through Christ Jesus, by grace through faith. Worship outside of that is just ritual. It's just another activity. If your relationship with God is fixed upon Christ Jesus, his death and resurrection, then you can come to worship him appropriately. I pray if you've not trusted Christ, that would be the first matter you would take care of. And then that we would exercise the discipline necessary for us to fix our eyes upon this one who's creator and the keeper of our souls and the keeper of our salvation to his glory as we come to worship him. Let's bow down for prayer. Father, we acknowledge you this moment. And I pray that we have been prompted to remember you not only now, but in every day to come. After Sunday is said and done and we move into Monday, that Lord God, we are preparing ourselves for the next time that we meet with you and engage with you. Lord God, keeping in mind that that might be the next time we're driving to our job or the next time that we're engaging with a coworker or with someone in our neighborhood, perhaps with our own family. Father, help us to focus our attention upon you as the great giver so that we might be able, Father God, to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel to which you've called us. Thank you for Christ Jesus. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his resurrection. Thank you, Father, for the promise of forgiven sin, the assurance of eternity, and that he's coming again one day. Lord God, keep us until that time. Help us to commit ourselves to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond. The altar will be open. I'll be here to pray with you, but let's take time to do that as Houston leads us. Let me pray with you before we depart. Father, thank you again for your presence, for directing us through your word to remind us the need for preparation to come into your presence. Help us not to be haphazard and careless as we enter into your presence. Thank you, Father, that you are able to receive us no matter the condition, but thank you for giving us insight to be prepared and intentionally getting ourselves in a proper place. Lord God, I pray, thanking you for the promise that you have to walk with us as we depart from this place, become your scattered church. Lord God, use us to your glory. May your name be exalted and you be lifted high through our lives and conversation. It's to your glory we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you out in the hallway. I do invite you to come back tonight, children's choir, and then also video on dinosaurs.
Yes, and just as a reminder, parents, that if your children are participating in children's choir, grades 1 through 6, please have them back tonight. They only have two practices left before they're singing at our cantata, so it's very important that they're here. So tonight at 5:30. Yes. Would you please, as we go, sing the doxology. Back tonight.